Welcome to the brand called JIO. The brand today is Navneet Puri. Navneet is a dear friend. He has got a PhD in pharmaceutical sciences from Rutgers University. He has worked for top-tier firms like Amgen and Baxter, but that was not enough. So he started a firm called InnoPharma. He started his second firm called Nevakar, which is what he runs today. Welcome to our show,
Thank
Navneet.
you.
So good to have you here. You are a serious scientist. I looked up your patents and I saw that your citations run into like 3 pages. Why don't you start by telling us what is your specialization? What is it that you know so much about?
What I would say is that I call it under drug repositioning, which is basically we look at leveraging the value of what already exists. So these are all the molecules that are already approved by FDA, but most of these do not address the needs in a most optimal manner. And we try to figure out what are the unmet needs, whether they are patient-centric or healthcare system-centric. And then we address it by either studying new indications of the same molecules or provide much better improved products that improve safety, improve efficacy, improve compliance, reduce the cost of overall healthcare while increasing the value. So in a nutshell, specialty is to use science and technology as tools to provide value to our patients and the healthcare providers.
And the patents and your research was all about these changes on how to make drugs better and
Exactly. So as we keep working on discovering, developing new products, new indications, new methods of use, different ways of addressing these unmet needs, they all lead to generation of IP, and then we protect that IP by filing multiple patents, and that's going to continue.
you're not just a scientist, you're obviously a phenomenal businessman and an entrepreneur in the way that you have created these large successful stories. What prompted you to start? Why was working at a pharmaceutical company, have a nice comfortable life in New Jersey, not doing what it needed to do? What was the bug?
That's always a great question. And I know we ask ourselves, we are supposed to ask ourselves and others as well, right? So what prompted you? What was your motivation? And that has to be the core of every entrepreneurship. So for me, I would say it was an evolution. So when I graduated from my PhD, I never even thought in my remotest dreams that I'll end up doing business or open my own company. So over the course of my own journey in the larger companies, I realized I was more of a curious George. I had to know where does my project fit in the big scheme of things? What is the value that we're providing? How do we confirm that value? How do we know that there's a clinical and commercial viability? Who checks that? When we see the financial models that give forecasts, what are the assumptions behind those? So these were just nonstop questions. And that led to some of my management at Baxter noticed that and put me in the business strategy group, which was a lot more cross-functional than what a typical scientist would experience. So that was a great experience in terms of learning. At the same time, that started leading to a lot more questions about the demand and supply, what leads to what. And also, with all due respect, as any large company, Baxter was a very bureaucratic company. Everything has to happen using committees, and committees meet once a month. Somebody shows up, sometimes somebody doesn't show up. Decision making does take
Gets
longer, but
delayed.
that's the process that a large company has to follow. But I just realized is that, first of all, that process starts to make me impatient. Second is there is a certain value that I see where I see a lot of demand, not enough supply. And because of the indecisiveness, we're not able to do justice with the value. So I figured, you know what, first of all, I see myself as being able to do justice to provide that value.
So you
So
can
the
do it
process
faster
is
and
do
better than you
faster,
think.
and I could do it, and I knew there was a demand, and make decisions which are in a as objective manner as practically possible. So not a very clear-cut answer in terms of motivation, but this was an evolution in my own journey.
Well, you figured you could do it better, and so why not?
Why not?
Yeah, great. We've talked a little bit about your fundraising and drug. Even discovery is very expensive, but even drug modification seems to take a lot of capital.
Yeah.
And you have raised a lot of capital to make these companies successful. How do you sleep at night knowing that so much millions of dollars have to be put at risk? Is it a big risk for a small company to raise that much capital and deploy it before knowing it's even working?
Great question, right? So, and just to put a context to it, we are about 4 years old company and I raised close to $200 million by now. Mm-hmm. So, but that is by necessity and by choice both. Necessity because the business model that we are in, we need to conduct a lot of clinical studies and clinical studies cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So you got to be very disciplined, very thoughtful, do your due diligence properly. But yes, it is a risk. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why we decided that we are not going to go to discovery. Because if you go to discovery, the risk is multiple times more. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at existing molecules that have safety and efficacy well established. Now we are trying to go a step further to provide better value from those molecules. So yes, it does cost a lot of money. I had to raise a lot of money. But in terms of managing my risk, I know this is a lot more managed risk. And of course, at the same time, we diversify our portfolio because not all of these are going to lead to successful products. That's just the way our industry works. So you got to create multiple shots on the goal while believing in your story. And every product has to have a story that you believe in and that you have conviction in.
$200 million in the world of startups and stage companies, besides SoftBank funded companies, that's unheard of kind of thing, but so phenomenal. When you think of building a capability that can defray the risk of what you are doing with this amount of responsibility, what do you think are the key factors? I know you've talked passionately to me about building the right team. Mm-hmm. What is the right team? What is the most important feature that you look for when you're building your startup team?
Yeah, so I always said it and I always strongly believe that you are as good as your team. And especially for a business model like us, which requires a lot of insight based on experience from multiple functional areas. That could be from regulatory side, clinical side, preclinical, CMC, marketing, finance, operations, project management, and the list goes on and on and on. And these are so diverse areas, and all of them need to converge to do justice to the business of product development in a pharmaceutical industry. So I needed to make sure that I have the right skill set that complements each other, at least in my senior leadership team. And these people come from different segments of the industry, so they bring in different perspective. And at the end of the day, I wanted to make sure that people are not doing what I'm telling them to do, because that would beat the whole purpose. It has to be people coming in with their own perspective, we sitting down around the table and debate about things and be able to express our own opinions and at the end of the day, make a decision that is in the best interest of organization. So on one hand, you do need complementary skill set. On the other hand, you do want them to converge, to share a common vision, but not by agreeing with each other. You got to be able to agree to disagree. So you need a team, and this is what I try to do. And I spend more than 2 years just recruiting my senior leadership team. Mm-hmm. They bring in enough experience, but at the same time, that culture that fits very well in the kind of atmosphere that we try to create, which is, again, think objectively, think in the best interest of the company, agree to disagree, have healthy debates, but no way to not convert a debate to an argument. At least we try. So that's my definition of
that's
good team.
That's great learning. Great learning for new CEOs and entrepreneurs who are trying to think of building a team. Achieving that, agree to disagree, but still have independent opinion. Mm-hmm. And disagreement doesn't mean that, you know, you're disrespecting someone. That's right. That's a tough journey. Thank you for sharing. One more question on your business life, and then we'll move a little bit to your personal journey. What has been your scariest moment, the biggest failure, and what have you learned from it?
So scariest moment, I would say, is that when you do not know the unknown or unknown. If I know what is the unknown, at least I'll do something about it. Mm-hmm. If I don't even know, that's a very scary thing. And there have been instances when we did not know what we don't know, and that led to some very big failures in the project lifecycle. And that was an opportunity for introspection as well.
Something you could share? Even in a bridge form of what kind of things are we talking about here?
So again, I talk about our own investments of time and money. So there was one project in which we are conducting a clinical study. And at that time, we were a much smaller company. This was in the previous company with very limited budget. We tried to put our budget as a dominant factor. And that led to basically spending about 2 years generating data at the site, which we assumed, assumption was a very bad word as well, is that they are basically going to manage the entire project for us. And we not even having the right skill set could not ask the right questions. And that eventually led to data, which obviously there is nothing that I could live with. And before it could go any further, I tried to decided to cut the losses short, bring the entire project back home, double the cost, added 2 more years. That was a very, very big setback. I wouldn't call it a failure, but I would still call it a very big setback. And that, of course, also leads to the previous question about the right team. Make sure that whatever you're doing, you have the right people on the team who understand that aspect of it. And if they do not understand, they know where to get the right answers from also. Again, this is a business where we have to invest a lot, a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of resources. So you got to be as thoughtful as you practically can.
Yeah. So 2 years of wasted time and effort is quite a bit. You've obviously not just had scary moments, I'm sure had a lot of recognition for the success you've had. What is one recognition that stands out, which is dear to you? What do you hold as your most proud moment?
Whenever somebody called me or my company or my team, individuals of high integrity, that is what is of most value and most meaning to me, and I believe for my team as well. You make commitments and you deliver against those commitments. Unless until science and data drives you otherwise, you deliver. So it's basically you do what you say and you say what you do.
That's I would have thought you'd say, you know, something like businessman of the year, exits.
That'd be nice to hear.
Okay. My next question, I want to know a little bit more about how you have fun. So in the last 1 year, what has been your most fun experience?
So before I answer that question, right, I would, there are times in the morning, at least in the, when the weather is nice, standing in my backyard with my cup of coffee in my hand in the morning and thinking about what to be thankful for and what is it that really makes you happy. And I have to say that at least on repeat basis, I ask myself that question and I say my work and my family, that's what makes me happy. And that's why I enjoy my work while I'm very busy, but these are the days that I look forward to. And second is that whatever you do, make sure that you spend, we had this discussion many times, make sure that you spend enough time with your family and listen to each other as well. And the most fun, I would say, is that whenever we take vacation, at least mostly we try to see if you just go out as a family, you know what, it just gives you time together. Otherwise, everybody's running around. And that's our whole point of going out, is that you are together. And that makes it a lot more fun. Yeah, go to the, some fun place also, but at the end of the day, you are together as a family and enjoy.
Family vacation has been...
Absolutely. That is the best part. Besides the work.
Right. Any role models? Who do you look up to?
That's a no-brainer for me. My own mom. She was, she is, she always will be my role model. Although she passed away many, 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 many years ago, but I tell her story to my own kids as well, is that find a role model. And for me, this was a lady who brought up 6 of us when we had no source of income. My father passed away very, very early. And there was no source of income, and she didn't think about her. All she thought about was us and how she would get up every morning, maybe, I don't know, before 4 or 5, but at least that's what I remember. get up in the morning, and we all used to live in a house of one room. That included the kitchen, of course, the same room. And getting up in the morning and preparing breakfast for us, lunch for us, cleaning the house, do the laundry, do the dishes, go to work. Anyone going to work, sometimes she'll save money by not taking any transportation, walk 2 miles in the scorching heat, come back home on the way back home, pick stuff to make dinner for us, and still help us in our studies, and wake up with me at 3 o'clock in the morning when my exams were there. This is called somebody who can, you can never even get close to it. And that's what you need, right? A hurdle which is so high is that you're almost striving to achieve that hurdle. Makes you keep moving.
Wow, what a story. Well, her investment has paid off. You know, look what she has been able to create through her dedication to you. But that's quite a story in what she had to go through and what you had to overcome. This is a classical American dream come true on the success that you have created. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to do some rapid fire questions just to get your reaction. What do you prefer? Is it biryani or burger?
Biryani.
Okay. Walk on the beach or party in Times Square?
They say walk on the beach. There was a time maybe Times Square was better.
Right. What would you rather drive in, a Ferrari or a Rolls Royce?
What, maybe a hybrid of both. I like a high performance with luxury.
Right. What's better, a book with you, with your one dear friend, or a large event?
Yeah, I'm a bit more of an introvert guy, so yeah, I would rather have a book, but have a glass of wine with that.
That's good. Navneet, if you could travel back in time and go to when you were 25 years old, what is one advice that you would give to Navneet, the 25-year-old?
Try not to always live for tomorrow. Because when I was growing up, in college, in my work, always kept thinking of what's next, what can I do this, what can I do that, which is good because it keeps driving you, that's important. But there is a balance. Sometimes we lose our own balance. And in that quest for tomorrow, we forget to enjoy and appreciate today. And part of it is what I did in my younger self, and which is something that I would tell my younger self. So yeah, that's what I would.
Smell more roses along the way?
Yeah, yeah. It, as difficult as it may sound, but yeah.
And you're in a good spot now?
Oh yeah.
Smelling the roses?
Trying to maintain that balance.
And you did say you don't want to think too much about what is next, but what is next?
So even to answer that question, right, I will take a step back and just share that before we, when we were in grad school, my wife and I, when we started this first company, then the second company, and all the issues that we went through, the struggles that we went through, we used to tell ourselves, as a, you know what, one day, if and when we get there, we owe it to a lot of others who probably will be going through the same kind of scenario as what we are going through right now. And it's not always about money. Money is very important for a startup company or any struggling entrepreneur. Sometimes a lack of guidance as well, lack of sharing experiences from other people, unless until you are lucky to show up in all the right forums. Mm. So that is one thing that we committed to ourselves also. So what's next after Nevercard? Definitely, I think from business side, I want to always stay engaged. You want to have enough investment that you can manage, you can stay engaged with the industry, overall entrepreneurship. But what is equally important is that spend enough time, resources, mentoring, helping other budding entrepreneurs, sharing your own experiences. And it doesn't have to be a part of a very formalized process or forums. If you can find, or if you can at least offer your time, you'll be surprised how many people actually take up on that time as well. So there are a bunch of things that I would like to do as next.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, because this is one way that entrepreneurs get motivated when they hear other people's stories and say, this is something that can be done, something that is possible for me. But that's good to hear. That's is it something that you are planning to do post NeverCar, or is this something you are starting to work on? I know you do some angel investments as well.
Right.
We have co-invested in some things. What do you look for? What do you look for when you are saying this person is somebody I can possibly help or work with or invest in?
Yeah. So I think it's just a mix of hard and soft skills, right? And for me, it's always that mindset is more important than skill set. Heart before mind, art before science. So I look at people who I can trust, and this is what I sort of bring back to the integrity part too. I do want to look for people who have the right approach, the right thought process, the right motivation, the right why. So that's just a mix of things.
Integrity is very important for you.
That,
Yeah. What is the brand called Navneet?
The right why, the right purpose, find the right purpose, and resilience. Pursue that.
Find the right purpose and pursue it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming and being part of the brand called You Navneet. Thank you so much.
And thank you for taking this initiative and sharing some of these experiences with others as well. Hopefully it helps people.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for the Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.